This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A strange delusional disorder whereby a person believes himself to be a cow or an ox.
This is such a weird thing that I'm admitting. So I've never admitted this out loud.
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. My name's Beef and I'm going to be hosting this lovely episode.
Is it lovely?
It should be quite lovely.
Oh, this is Bob Shoy.
Laziest intro ever. And Tis.
Tis, as usual.
Hello.
Wonderful. It's nice to see you boys.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we're getting into the swing of getting episodes churned out again now?
Kind of. We've got to, like, smash through loads.
So it'll be swingy.
We're all busy. I've said it time and time again. We're all busy this month. January is, like, a busy month for us, even into, like, the middle of Feb.
Mm.
Yeah. From, like, now to the middle of Feb, we're busy.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to smash out episodes. And then we're trying to keep the quality up.
And then from May, for me, it's going to be really busy.
Nah, you'll be fine.
Just put the back. Don't take up much time.
You'll be waiting for, like, time off.
You know when you get a parcel and it's really satisfying?
A parcel, yeah.
Yeah,
you've
parcel.
Been waiting for it. Like, you've been waiting for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's come. Do you reckon that's going to be like baby? You're going to be able to tell us.
I was quite chuffed for my PlayStation game.
First hand that whether the baby is like up there with like PlayStations, bottle boxes.
I can guarantee you I'll be...
Goods from America.
Completely bowled over. I'll be really emotional. That's you guys are going to have to, like, pull me back together again.
You've got to be, like, objective about it, though. You can't be like, yeah, it's the best thing ever. Because everyone says that.
I think it's going to be one of those things where, like, everyone says that, like, I can't
everyone says
explain
that.
How amazing
it's amazing. It's like the
so you want
day.
Me to be extremely...
No, there'll be some days when you're so sick
concise.
Of it.
What's you'll the best
like,
day of
oh,
your
the
life?
The PlayStation was better than you.
What's the best day of your life?
What's the best day of my
He's gonna
life?
He's going to say it's wedding, isn't it?
Obviously.
So everyone says. But... Is it?
If you don't get married, are you missing out on the best day of your life? Because I don't even know what my best day of my life would be. If you get married, you've got to go to. Like, oh, it's the best day of my life.
Yeah.
If you're not married, what do you say is the best day? Because I can't even think of what would be the best day of my life.
Every day.
Like, I've had amazing days.
Yeah.
I've had, like, a really... Some days, I have a really great day, and I'm like, this is one of the best days of my life.
I'd say you only remember...
Okay, just doing something amazing.
You only remember your worst.
Let's put the wedding to one side, because that is a cheat, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not using a cheat. I'm not doing that. Yeah, like an amazing day. Like everyone's had amazing. Yeah. Like
sometimes you just reflect and you're like, this is a really great time. Like when I'm in Japan, for example, and I'm like cheering sumo wrestlers.
Yeah,
that's amazing day.
That's when you catch yourself in the moment and it's just like, this is fucking mental.
Yeah,
you're just like, do you know what I mean? You're just having so much fun. You're just like, you just come back and take stock of it. You're like, I'm well happy.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing my life proper. And that's what I want to say. Anyone listening?
Yeah.
Get out and do stuff.
Yes.
You're really just, you want to make the most of your life. You only live once.
I would say pretty much every day on our honeymoon was probably the best day.
Here we go. Went back to his wedding again.
I was at the British Museum the other day and it was fucking awesome.
So yeah,
that was one of those. Yeah, that was one of those things. Like, you're looking around. I'll tell you what, we've got to go to the British Museum.
I've been there. It's all the Renaissance stuff, isn't it?
No, it's got Egyptian stuff.
Yeah, but it's not all. It's... No, the British Museum has got some of the Renaissance stuff as well, isn't it?
Oh, I swear.
It's got loads of stuff.
I thought you said dinosaurs.
Oh, no. It's got the dinosaurs.
I misheard Renaissance for dinosaurs.
It hasn't got reptilian stuff in there.
No.
Old Queenie.
No, I know what you say. Like, when we were in the Cook Islands, there was one day where we just had the most perfect day ever.
Yeah.
And then sat on our balcony watching the sunset, eating fish that had been caught that day and barbecued. Yeah. Like, this is...
Try that, and I want to see.
What are you drinking?
Water.
Whoa, it looks horrible.
The aftertaste is even worse. That's petrol.
Can you try this?
That's essentially fucking petrol. Well done, BrewDog.
King it. Vietnamese coffee. I didn't want to read that just before I drink it.
It'll blow your, nose off.
That's my. That's not the face.
Your face. It's like drinking medicine.
Anyway,
right. So,
what is this week's topic?
You guys, I'm quite excited because you guys, I don't think, would ever be able to guess what.
Can I tell you what I thought it was going to be?
Oh, if you guess now, I'm going to be really upset.
Did you ever guess what you thought it was going to be?
No.
When I looked at the list today, I was like, I thought you might dabble back into witchcraft.
I've not.
Oh.
Is it Men in Black?
No.
What's the first one I saw?
No, I'm going back into Weird Brain.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to continue my...
Oh, balls. So I'm looking at the mystery board there.
Yeah, so for listeners, I've brought the mystery board back in because this is going to be one of those episodes where it's like it's just stories and videos and stuff. So you will be learning stuff like we do every week, but it just kind of makes it a bit.
You know what? This also is almost, you're always going to get like a double whammy of Weird Brain because we've got a spin-off episode next week.
Yeah.
Which is also like a good follow-up to this. So if you like this weird human brain sciencey stuff, you've got a two-weeker of this to be continued next week.
So Weird Brain, I really enjoyed...
Weird Brains.
Weird Brain Part 1 and Schizophrenia last year. I thought it was good fun.
And it's been a while since that one as well.
That's what I thought. And I thought, I'm going to dive back into it. So we've got the mystery board back and we've got a whole bunch of topics up there. There's different stories. And just so for you guys... All of those topics, they relate to a particular mental disorder.
Right, okay.
I feel quite certain that out of... So there's 11 or 12 up there. There's maybe like two or three that you would have heard of. But the other ones, not so... I mean, some of them are mad. Don't say mad. No, don't say crazy.
Some of them are insane. Some of them are mentally deranged.
Insane on the membrane.
Some of them are mentally unstable.
But
we're not doing another game of Out Funk or whatever.
Out Funk.
No, I was thinking of bringing it back. Yeah, but
you didn't.
No.
Oh, thank God.
No. So like I say, there's about three or four, I reckon, that you would have heard of.
For new listeners, the mystery board is just a big wooden board that we put post-it notes on. Each post-it note has like a word or something on it that's going to draw your attention.
Yeah,
which one's more mysterious than
we get to? Me and Tiss, or whoever the two guests are, guest co-hosts,
get to
take it in turns to choose a subject.
Yeah, and in true mystery build style, you'll probably be able to see that there's
some of them are doublers.
They're all of them are doubles.
Oh,
but so when you peel it off, you'll just need to peel off the top. Stop drinking that beer, man. Oh. It's like killing your insides.
Black-eyed King Imp.
Oh,
that's ridiculous.
That's the face that dog walkers pull when they have to pick up
dog turds. I love BrewDog, but Black-eyed King Imp, that
12.7.
is, that is something special. Well, Vietnamese coffee stout.
It's like drinking two beers right there in a can.
That's, that's a lot.
I'm glad you haven't got work tomorrow.
No.
So back to the double post-it. So you'll have to be careful when you pull them off because the post-it underneath will have a video or it won't have a video.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, some of them have got videos under there and if we hit one, then...
You're going to play us a video?
Play us a video, yeah.
I'm going for O-Balls. Tiss is going first.
Going straight into
it? He literally can't hold himself. He needs to know what O-Balls are.
O-Balls.
Okay, so... You wanna go for O-Balls?
Yeah, I can't reach.
All right, no. Do you want me to pick it off? Yeah,
have a little peeling.
Well, it's in quotes, like O-Balls.
You messed it up.
There's nothing underneath O-Balls.
There's nothing under O-Balls.
Okay.
So there's no video.
Has it got an exclamation mark? No.
No, it's just
it's not O-Balls.
Just a quotation.
O-Balls.
It's O-Balls.
O-Balls.
So these. So like I say, all of these relate to
balls.
Mental. Wow, in this case, yes, it does.
Okay.
Really? So this all relates to mental illness. So again, if what I will say now is, if you're listening to this episode and you haven't
got balls, literally, so
been waiting for somewhere to slot some balls in.
So mature. No, if you're listening for the first time, and you've not listened to the first, is it called Weird Brain and Schizophrenia?
The human brain.
Go and listen to the human brain, because this kind of gives a bit of background to most of these disorders and how the brain work.
Yeah, that was our introduction to the human brain. The first half was like an intro to the subject, and the second half was schizophrenia.
You know, the short story is the brain is an amazing organ, and there are lots of things that can go wrong with it. So O'Balls relates to genital retraction syndrome.
Oh, balls!
Yeah.
Is that when the nuts go up in you?
Kind of. It doesn't actually.
Have you ever woken up and your nuts been in your body? I have.
Well, actually, no. Yeah, no, I have.
And it's fucking scary.
Not like proper in, but like very flat.
I'm like, oh my God. And it's like up in your fucking, it can get stuck up. And I'm like, oh my God. And you have to like pop it back out.
Yeah, I've had them where they're well tight. Like your ball crack is like as tight as.
Oh, that happens when I jump in the sea.
Yeah.
No, I do it when
girlfriend chatting from the living room.
When I go for a run and I'm wearing my base layer really slams my whole genitals down.
That's not
so when I get home, you have that thing and you're like, I can't. Where's the other one? There have been times where they've both disappeared.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that thing where you walk all day and your balls hurt by the end of the day because they're just swinging for so long?
Like, they can literally be so small that they're like a walnut stuck to your body.
Yeah.
Or they can be like fucking Captain Longnuts.
Yeah.
I can't believe how low they can sling sometimes.
Yeah.
There are times.
Oh, yeah. I relish in it.
This conversation is horrible.
How
much of it am I cutting down?
No, leave it in. We're talking about balls. It's on topic.
Okay. When he actually wrote old balls, I didn't know it was going to be actual testicles.
I know it's going to be balls.
So it doesn't just relate to testicles, though.
Right, okay. We're being silly. We're being crass.
I wasn't.
Go on, Professor B.
So genital retraction syndrome, or Coro syndrome, it's a psychiatric disorder in which a person suffers acute anxiety over a deep-seated fear that his genitals, or breasts in the case of a woman, are shrinking into their abdomen until they disappear.
What?
And then it leads on to the feeling that because they've disappeared, they're going to die.
So it's not an actual thing, it's a mental disorder. Which
it's a mental disorder, yeah. So you are convinced you have...
That your penis is going to go inside and you're going to die.
Yeah.
Well, if my penis went inside, I'd probably want to die.
Some tribes do that though, don't they?
Well, they die.
They push the dick up inside their body.
Yeah.
So it's not swinging out when they go hunting.
I should try that.
Really, they do. I've seen it.
Well, they need some bait.
I see it on a documentary. They get their cock and they just like push it inside their body.
Well, they're industrious.
How do they keep it up there?
Don't know. Oh, look painful. Because who did it?
But tribes stretch their necks and stuff, don't they?
Don't know, some tribe.
Wasn't it Albert?
one of the documentarian guys who goes travelling in the world and talking to tribes and stuff. It wasn't Ray Mears.
Michael Palin.
It wasn't Michael Palin.
Piers
Morgan.
But he did it, and he was like, when the tribes person pushed his dick in, because he didn't know how to do it, they helped him.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my God, and it like hurt, and he was like, this is fucking crazy.
Fuck.
And he.
I would love to learn.
So I did that thing as a kid where you're like, you're playing with it. You're always playing with your willy as a kid, aren't you? And just like, you give it a little push and it kind of goes up a little bit.
Yeah.
It always comes back.
But I would never actually do it.
But yeah, having it so it stays up there.
If there was no repercussions, I'd give it a go. Why not?
Right, live on the show now.
Come on. This is going to... Get your nuts out.
Nah. No, I want to be a tribesman to teach me. Get a tribesman on the show.
Right, okay. If any tribes people are listening now...
Should we go to Papua New Guinea for our next holiday?
Yeah, I'm sure we can afford that with the donations we got coming in.
There's nothing weird about having a guinea, though.
We can find some weird stuff. Tribal life is weird to the Western world.
Oh, yeah, we're weird to them, but they're not weird to us.
They are weird to us.
No, well, to me.
Right. Show off, blow off.
Anyway, yeah, so the condition is a mental condition which you think your genitals are going inside your body.
It's a deep-seated anxiety, so it's always on your mind and you're always thinking about, like, I'm worrying that your genitals or your breasts, if you're a woman, are just going to, like, retract inside you and then you die.
I do want to say, if any of our listeners suffer from any of the things we're talking about on the show, please contact us, because I would be fascinated to actually hear from you.
Yeah. And
I mean, when we talked about schizophrenia, we had people email us about that, and it was
absolutely.
It was fascinating.
And if you are listening, and so we're going to go through a few of these things, and you know, if you do suffer with any of these, you know, this is not meant as a slight towards you in the slightest, but we do, you know, we just find it fascinating.
It's fascinating.
And if you do suffer from it, let us know what it's like, and yeah, just give us some. I don't know.
Also, if you know how to tuck your balls up inside yourself, I'd love to know.
If you're listening in Papua New Guinea,
it's unexplainableuk@mail.com.
But apparently, the condition is mostly a Southeastern Asian thing, and it's a rare condition. But I don't know whether it's a cultural thing. I couldn't seem to work it out.
Probably is,
but. Yeah, what do you think to that? It's,
most things are cultural.
It's man. Crazy.
It's mad, isn't it?
I think mental illness is mad. Cultural, isn't it?
Stop saying mad and crazy. it's mental.
Very strange.
Yeah, but yeah, I thought it was quite a good one to start us off with. I thought that might draw your attention. I was like, let's just have a interesting little one to get into it. Bob, do you want to crack on?
Yeah, can I have Ear Me Now?
Ear Me Now?
Yeah, go. Is it about ears?
No video.
Nothing.
Oh. No videos. So
is
this
it about ears?
It has got something to do with ears, yeah.
Knew it.
So please in the back.
that's what gave it away.
So this one I feel, and you guys can feedback and tell me what you think. This one I feel is probably, I'm not sure if I buy this one.
Oh, okay. So this might be a bit of real or rubs.
This is one of those things. It's kind of real or rubs. But you know, it's one of those things where we seem to have diseases and illnesses for everything these days. Like everything has to have a word. Like I don't know.
What's the name for the other side of your knee?
The
other side of your knee.
Like the inside of your knee.
Oh, the underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
The back of your knee.
I don't know.
I'd love to know. Answers on a postcard.
Let us know. So, Ear Me Now refers to something called misophonia.
Okay.
Which translates literally as hatred of sound.
Okay. Oh, I know about this, I think.
Yeah? What do you think?
This is actually related to something we're talking about next week, I think.
Not quite.
Okay, I might cut this if I'm wrong. Is it when you hear certain sounds and they can trigger negative emotions inside you?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Is that a form of what we're talking about next week?
Oh, okay. All right, I didn't find that out in my... But basically, the reason I wasn't too sure whether I...
Because it's linking emotions in the same way that does. That is hearing a negative emotion, like your internal emotions and sound cross-wiring.
Ah.
That's what it is.
I see this kind of... this also relates to, like, when you hear people chewing. Like, like specific kind of sounds.
Yeah.
Chewing...
Yeah, yeah.
Nails down a blackboard, that kind of stuff. Now I'm gonna own up to something right now.
Mm-hmm.
I like sometimes when I'm sat eating dinner with Rachel, I have to like cover my ears because I can't bear the
sound
noise.
Of mastication.
That sound really bothers me. Really, really, like to
but
the
like,
point where I have
when
to like
mouth open.
No, like I don't know what it's just that noise of you can have your chewing your mouth open. I feel is a universal thing. If you chew with your mouth open.
I cut that because it's horrible. Some podcasts I listen to, and I'm sure I might have let a few slip on here. And if the people are eating, and you can hear it in the mic, it really pisses me off on the show. And I get irritated, which is why I always edit this show, because sometimes we are eating. We were eating last week, and I'm sitting there trying to edit it out.
Yeah.
I was eating fucking malt loaf at the beginning.
Sweets.
Yeah, I was eating malt loaf at the beginning of this episode. But I don't. Hopefully it doesn't come across that we're eating. Although sometimes you can tell we're talking about our mouthful. last week, the beginning of last week, was
tuck your sweet to the side of the mouth. Yeah. But so it relates to that kind of thing, but it's quite typical stuff. But I guess it's obviously a lot more prominent than that, like more of a hatred rather than like when I hear people chew.
Mm.
Sometimes it really like I have to cover my ears because I just can't bear it. But that's not really the same, is it?
No, it's hearing a specific sound, and for some reason it might be like the noise of someone slamming a door.
Mm.
And that slamming door noise inside your body creates a negative emotion, and it can actually be a real experience you've had in your life, and it brings it back for some reason. It might not even be related. It might be like what's a negative thing can happen in someone's life they got expelled from school and it was negative, and now their life's on the right track, right?
Yeah.
But that slamming of the door can bring back the feeling of when they got expelled for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
And anything, it could be the noise of someone pouring a glass of water away could bring back a feeling of like your parents getting divorced or something like that. It can just bring back any negative thing in your life. It's a very strange like cross wiring of the brain. So yeah, I have heard about this. I actually studied it today.
Ah, well, there we go.
Amazingly.
But that's kind of surreal, isn't it? And it's like, I guess that, again, that's just the brain working through stuff and just almost like misfiring
it
things.
It is
like whatever
a crossing of wires as your brain's developing. It's emotions getting crossed at one point where they're not supposed to, and it just sticking.
A lot of, so in my research today, I found out a lot of people that have it have to go through sort of behavioural therapy and stuff like that. So yeah, misophonia.
Wow.
There we go. Do you want to try another one, Tis?
I'm going to go for moo.
Moo.
Moo. All right. You want to be honest with you?
It's mad cow disease.
It's got nothing underneath it. Sorry, nothing. Mate.
So, moo.
Is it mad cow disease?
No. Moo.
Yeah.
Relates to a mental disorder called boanthropy.
Right.
Boanthropy is a strange delusional disorder whereby a person believes himself to be a cow or an ox.
Really?
Yeah.
They believe they are one.
I wish I had that.
Why?
Because then I could fucking...
Well, you eat grass all the time anyway, don't you, mate?
No. That'd be sweet, though.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a cow having sex?
Not particularly.
I've heard a cow having sex.
I've seen it. It terrified me when I was a kid. We stopped for directions in the countryside one time.
Why are you asking a cow?
Like, excuse me, we're shagging.
No, it was like this old farmer, and he looked like the most stereotypical old middle of nowhere farmer ever. And as he was talking, these two cows just started shagging behind him. And as a kid, I was like, what the fuck? Because the man cow just started mounting, and it was just like this long, like pink carrot.
Yeah, big, big willies.
It was really scary.
And how do they? Because they can't. They're kind of chunky things.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that why it's so long? Because they can just stand there. And
yeah, I guess so. Because he was like having to stand up like that. And
absolutely no romance first, though.
No, no,
oh.
No,
no.
Not like you. Well, they don't have sex. We talked about on the show how you're so romantic before.
I'm well romantic.
Yeah,
I know. We talked about it. We believe you.
Thank you. I fucking am.
So some
what's
people...
the most romantic thing you've ever done?
What's the most romantic thing I've ever done?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly, I have no idea. You put me on the spot there.
What's the least romantic thing
you've done? I don't know what the least is.
I can think of at least 10 things.
I do some unromantic things.
I do quite a lot of unromantic things, yeah.
Because I haven't been in a relationship for so long, I can't remember.
Well, I do believe you. Go on, Beef.
Yeah, so some people think that the disorder usually starts out as a dream and goes on to just like interrupts your day basically.
Why a cow? So one day you dream you're a cow. The next morning you wake up and like, that was a weird dream. And then you're like, but was it? And you start thinking more and
when
more.
When a dream
that
never
cow.
Ends, you just carry on being a cow.
Yeah. But it does mean that eventually people start hopes. Eating grass.
Really?
And like leaves and things because that's what they feel. That's what their brain is telling them.
I just can't leave
they need
my life.
Just a little bit of trivia. So Nebuchadnezzar, who was a king of the Babylonian Empire in
did
the Book of Daniel in the Bible.
He thought he was a cat.
In the Book of Daniel it states that Nebuchadnezzar was driven from men. So like kind of... almost like they didn't want him around because he was weird. So he was driven away from
I thought he meant that he was gay and he got turned off.
No, no, no. And did eat grass as oxen. So it's suggestible that this is...
so he just woke up as a cow. Then he put a bell around his neck.
So because someone said he ate grass one time, everyone's like, you probably thought he was a cow.
Yeah.
Like, they grassed him right up.
That's how rumours start, isn't it?
Grass.
And we're still spreading them rumours to this day.
Don't have a cow, mate.
Sending it out to thousands of people next week about this guy. Apparently he was a cow.
Well, it's in the Book of Daniel if you want to read it.
Okay.
Yeah, so boanthropy. I thought that one was...
Moo. That's very odd.
It's really strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that is crazy.
That is cow-razy.
Cowabunga.
Right, Tis, you want to pick another one?
No, it's my guy.
Oh, is it your guy? Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, sorry.
Can I have John?
John?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
John. All right, John?
Yeah.
Oh, There's a video.
There's a video. So I'm going to play the video straight away, and this might even... You might know what this is.
So this is about John.
Yeah.
In the summer of 1980, Hinckley read a story about Jodie Foster. The 18-year-old actress was taking a sabbatical from Hollywood to attend Yale University. So Hinckley told his parents that he was going back to college. But at Yale, not Texas Tech.
And so he makes up a whole elaborate ruse to his parents about how he's going to go to Yale for a writing class.
That doesn't exist.
And the whole time he spent stalking Foster, he finds out where she lives, he's slipping notes under her door, and he taped these calls.
What is this? Oh, no. What is this? Who is this?
John.
Oh, no, not you again. Look, I really can't talk to you, okay? But do me a really big favor. You understand why I can't, you know, carry on these conversations with people I don't know. You understand that it's dangerous and it's just not done. It's not fair. It's rude.
Oh.
All right?
Well, I'm not
dead. Well, I understand that, but it's just, it's the same thing. Okay?
Yeah, so you just
want
everyone
to talk? No. It's been really nice talking to you.
All right.
This is about stalkers.
He's got something to do with stalkers, yeah. So yeah.
I've heard about this dude before. This he was calling Jodie Foster.
Yeah. So this is about John Hinckley, who had, it's safe to say, like besotted with and absolutely infatuated with Jodie Foster.
Mm.
So he's the dude who tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan.
Oh right, I never knew this was the same dude.
Yeah, yeah. So his attempt was to. So this was on March 30th, 1981, Hinckley shot a revolver 6 times at Reagan as he left the Hilton Hotel in Washington, D.C. After leaving a conference.
Mm.
He also wounded a police officer, a secret agent, a Secret Service agent, critically wounded press secretary James Brady. Hinckley did not hit Reagan directly, but seriously wounded him with a bullet when it ricocheted off the side of the presidential limousine and hit him in the chest. He didn't try to flee and was arrested at the scene. All of the victims survived. Effectively what they're saying at the time, he was declared insane, basically, because he admitted that he was doing this as a way of getting attention.
Right.
He wanted to, it was almost like he was trying to impress Jodie Foster. And so that phone call that we just listened to is a phone call that he made dozens of, you know, probably dozens and dozens of phone calls to her while she was at Yale. So she was only 19 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't really know about him, but you know, she obviously at the time had just been through, she'd just been in Taxi Driver.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a massive hit at the time. So she wasn't really too aware of it until the authorities caught up with her and said, look, this guy is, you know, trying to get your attention. He's trying to, you know. So he declared that Hinckley wrote that the shooting was the greatest love offering in the history of the world and was disappointed that Foster did not reciprocate his love.
So he shot at Reagan to impress Jodie Foster?
Yeah, pretty much. And that all...
Have you done anything that romantic, this?
Not yet.
That's quite far out, to be fair.
Yeah.
But some people now, after doing after analysing what happened and doing tests on him and stuff, they've related it to something that's called erotomania.
Right.
Which is... And I guess you could liken it to lots of stalkers like this.
Yeah, this is
where they get this infatuation... It's specifically with someone high class or high social, you know, or a celebrity.
And is this as well like the same? It can go on, and they feel like they've got a relationship with the person. They feel like the person. It's like they feel like they got a bond, you know.
Yeah.
Even though the person keeps telling them leave me alone or whatever.
Yeah.
They're like, no, me and we've got like a special thing.
Yeah.
They believe it.
Mm.
Yeah, I have heard about this before. It's wild.
Wow. And I don't know about you guys, but I felt like when you listen to that phone call, there is that kind of, not relationship, but she starts off, oh, no, not you again.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like, you've got to stop calling me. And then by the end of the phone call, she's saying stuff like...
Sounds like the sort of phone call you could have with your wife if she was in a huff with you.
I think she's trying to be diplomatic, right? She sounds like she's been trying.
Yeah, she's trying to be nice, yeah. But she's firm. She's like, don't call me again. This is.
Well, the thing
nice,
is, if
but...
you start, like, mouthing off to him, what's to say what he could do, you know?
Well, shoot the president. Yeah. Like, if he started by shooting at the president. Yeah, so I thought that was pretty great. Because so years ago, they would have just always just some mad stalker.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's linked to erotomania. And there's been hundreds of other cases as well of people who have this infatuation.
Do you think, though, right, these things you've talked about so far?
Yeah.
They're not that common, no. But they are common enough that they exist and there's terms for them. It's not like it was a one-off case.
Yeah, yeah.
Think how many people you know, or acquaintances, or friends of friends.
Mm.
There's a high probability that one of the people you know, or roughly know, has one of these things.
Oh, yeah.
So how weird is that?
Yeah.
But mental illnesses can only be defined by the fact that other people don't feel that way.
Yeah.
Makes sense? Like, if everyone felt like that, it wouldn't be weird.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And it's not the brain behaving regularly, though. It's the brain becoming obsessive about something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is an illness.
I think all our brains are obsessive about some stuff.
Yeah,
but some of it's socially acceptable.
It's what hobbies are.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's everyone has got something which their brain... So I overthink everything. Mm-hmm. I spend all my time thinking and worrying. You know, you guys saw me, like, when we go to the airport...
Yeah,
I'm always
made us
just
leave
like
the day before the. Anyway,
yeah. Right, I'm choosing Alice.
Back on to John. Are we done with John?
So we've pretty much done with John. I just found that really interesting. So erotomania.
Yeah, it's pretty erotic.
There we go. Well, yeah, kind of.
Go Sweden.
You want to go for Sweden?
Sweden.
I thought you were going for Alice.
Oh, change my mind.
Change your mind at the last minute. He's going to Sweden.
I'm going to try it.
Come on, Dave.
No video. So Sweden.
Sweden
is all about Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, okay.
Is that where you...
Shout out to all our Swedish listeners.
Yeah. Shout out to everyone with Stockholm Syndrome.
As we're talking about Sweden, I do want to give a little shout out, actually, to Alice.
Yeah.
Who I contacted, because I've been thinking about doing this episode, and I was going to do it at a later date. I was going to do something else tonight.
Okay.
And then thought, I need to. So, shout out to her, because I asked her to, like, see if she had any, as a med student, if she had any, like, crazy brain facts or stories or something like that. So, if she comes back to us on Facebook, Alice will get it out. I might come back to this another time. So,
one of our, like, long-time regular listeners.
Yeah, yeah. So, we might even get you on, maybe we can get you on the show for a quick Skype, just to give us a bit of a show or something. So, but I wanted to talk about Stockholm Syndrome because I find it fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where you start to fall in love or like the
form relationships with your captors? Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like the most proactive thing to do.
Yeah,
it's because it's like a mothering thing though, because they're looking after you in a way.
Yeah,
they're keeping you alive to a certain extent. So you sort of bond that like.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I know. This isn't necessarily the most technical. Medical term in the world, and it's not really, but because I do just think actually if you that's your only human contact as well.
That's it, and you crave as a human you crave other human beings.
Yeah,
I know some people want to be on their own and live like hermits, but the vast majority of humans you do because I think of myself as kind of like I'm not that sociable. I think of myself as kind of antisocial, but you do crave communication with other human beings. And if you've only got one, you would form a relationship. I can see myself doing it already. I'm not even a social person.
Yeah. But I think it's something like 4 days. If you go without any human contact for something like 4 days,
right.
your mental state starts to deteriorate. Because they did like an experiment on isolation. So when prisoners are put in isolation, and that's why they stopped putting them in isolated circumstances for so long. Or they're still in isolation, but they have a relationship with the prison guard because they've worked out medically you can't subject humans to it because they crave that social attention.
Probably still happens though, right?
Well, yeah, probably. But something like days, and your mental state starts to deteriorate because you need it.
Well, then when they used to put them in them. What they're called? When it's like
solitary confinement.
Solitary confinement. Yeah. That would drive them mad.
Yeah.
Like insane.
Like on Shawshank.
Shawshank, yeah.
It's in the
Green Mile.
Green Mile is what I was thinking of. And I even watched Escape from Alcatraz the other day, and the Shav Eastwood in there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and every time it seems to crack the nut, doesn't it? And
they put him in the I do that as well sometimes, yeah.
Their nuts. Unless they can slip it up inside.
Oh balls.
Unless they can put it up inside themselves.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure if I, again, you know, we like to give terms to everything these days. I don't know if this is the most, I just think that's scientific. Like you, I guess it would be a mental disorder over a very long time.
Well, it's your brain.
They're just giving it a name, aren't they?
Yeah, it's just
natural.
Yeah, Sweden, Stockholm. Yeah.
But it's odd because you wouldn't think, from the outside, we're going, oh yeah, of course it would happen because we're sitting there thinking about it. If you just said it to someone, they'd be like, that's crazy, that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Why would you like the person that's captured you?
I actually always love talking to people who I know don't like me because I like to bring them around.
Yeah? You've got a winning, charming personality.
No, I don't, but I don't like when people don't like me.
It's like
I don't like not being liked. Not that I crave being liked, but I just don't like negative situations.
Any listeners that hate Tess, emailed us.
There's no way.
I think
not that they didn't hate me, but I'd talk to them and then just be like, well,
you've been around.
You know, you don't like me, but
I don't think it's like listeners hate you, Tess.
That's like
I would say you're probably the listener, like people's favourite.
It's like Pam on The Office where she's like, I think if Al Qaeda just got to know me, they'd like me. I don't want anyone to feel like they hate me.
Yeah, I think they would.
Yeah.
I don't really care about people.
I genuinely feel that if I sat with like a member of ISIS and they just chatted to me for a while.
Of course, because they're people too.
They would fall in love with me.
But so you don't like the idea of people not liking you?
Like, if people don't like me, I'm just like, well, whatever, don't they affect me? But if I see them, I'll not be nicer to them, but I'll still be nice to them.
Mm.
And it'll be sort of secretly sort of like, yeah, you know, like, maybe they, you know, see the wrong side of me. Maybe.
Mm. It's weird. I can imagine people not liking me.
I like to show
people. I can't
people.
Imagine people not liking this.
I like to show people that I like them literally straight away. I like to put them at ease instantly.
Mm.
I hate to leave an atmosphere hanging where it's just like, oh, you know. I always love to pinch a little.
I know what you mean. I don't like the idea that people would be talking about me behind my back. So when I hear about it over the years, when I've been in work and I've heard, or you've like, you know, when you see it in like, on like TV shows all the time where they're like, the person's just outside the door listening in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've had that happen a couple of times. Really? And it's not been like the most horrendous stuff. It's just been a bit like, oh.
I used to get that at sixth form.
Yeah.
That all the time. That's why one of the reasons I left. I got sick of everyone slating me when I wasn't there.
Hmm. Was that like?
Yeah, it was that lot. They just, don't know why, they just like took a dislike to me during that sixth form stint.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't part of, like, the sixth form, like, fucking buddy group who wanted to do, like, events all the time and, oh, we're going to have a gathering and fuck you. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to
shout out to the Cotslow School sixth form drama crew, you bunch of
shout out to
and
oh!
Yeah. So... There are three famous instances of this happening. So the Stockholm bank robbery is the first, and that's where we coined the phrase. So this happened in 1973, an escaped convict.
I actually never knew where the name came from.
Oh, right. Well, here we go. So he forced his way into a bank and held four people in the bank hostage for 6 days.
Wow.
Ended up torturing them. So he tortured them with nooses and dynamite. Like, I don't know. Was he just, like, lighting it?
Sticking out their bum and lighting it.
Like, you've got to get it out.
Horrible thing to joke about. Horrible thing to joke about. I'm sorry. joking about torture. Well, we did the spend half the witchcraft episode doing that as well.
Yeah.
The pear.
Yeah, pear of anguish. Did he get the pear of anguish out?
Oh, would you rather a pear of anguish up your bum or a dynamite?
The pear of dynamite, because at least
you can put it out. If you, yeah, but then you could put it out, and then if it blew up, it would blow up in your hand rather than up your bum.
The pear of anguish.
If it blew up, I'm going to die anyway.
Yeah, but then you have a chance of throwing it away. And how far away from your hand does it have to be before it doesn't kill you?
Dynamite.
A few foot?
I would say if I chucked it in the hallway...
You'd still die.
It wouldn't affect me, no. Dynamite. The blast radius from like a grenade or dynamite isn't as big as you think.
No. You'd still get a lot of...
Like if I threw a grenade into that corner, we wouldn't get hurt.
I reckon?
Yeah, the blast radius on a grenade is not that big.
What do you reckon in this room in the corner?
There might be shrapnel.
It wouldn't kill me, but no. It would fuck your ears up, for one. It would near enough blind you. You'd definitely get shrapnel all over you.
But when I was a kid, I thought of a grenade. I thought, like, if you threw it, it would, like, blow up the house sort of thing.
You might even get PTSD.
That's what happens in movies, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't. Just blow out the windows. A bit of a fire.
You're thinking of, like, an FPS where you throw a grenade and it's, I didn't kill him. Because it wasn't right
just when they're fucking the ash out.
Our knowledge of war is so FPS-based.
Well, I don't even play any war games.
It's like, if you shoot someone with an assault rifle, you've got to shoot them, like, 20 times. Actually, in real life, you can shoot them once to be dead.
Anyway, let's carry on.
Back to the bank robbery. When they were finally released, none of them would testify against... there were two people, sorry, that went into the bank. They wouldn't testify against them. According to some reports as well, one of the hostages eventually married one of the captors.
Wow.
Yeah, it's mad, right? This is quite recent, like last 15 years. So Yvonne Ridley,
right,
is a British reporter for the Sunday Express who was captured for 11 days by the Taliban in 2001. Upon release, she became a fervent Muslim, denouncing the typical values and lifestyles of the West and praising Muslim practice and feminism. Ridley denies that she suffers from Stockholm Syndrome, claiming that she did not bond or empathise with her captors and that she was only awoken and shown how to live a liberated life.
Wow.
11 days. 11 days, and that's what... But
think how long 11 days is if you're captive.
Think how long
1 day is if you're captive.
Yeah, that's true. Change your whole life.
Depends. Who's capturing you?
Taliban, in this case.
But I'd just be like, just tell me about Islam.
Well, that's what she did, and then they won her over.
Oh, really? They won her over?
Yeah, that's what she's been talking about.
Yeah.
She ended up turning into a Muslim.
Yeah.
She came out transformed.
Yeah, I'd want to learn about the religion.
Well, you've got nothing else to do. You'd be like, yeah, exactly. Tell me.
I'd love to know. I'd be like, tell me more. Let's watch some YouTube video.
Show them some Limmy show.
Yeah, I'd fucking show them the Limmy vines and they'd be like, this is nuts. It'd be amazing. Where do they live?
In Afghanistan. Right, come on, boys. We've got six more to crack through.
Have I got one? Can I choose...
Who? You can choose who if you want to choose who.
I gave it somewhere of my acting prowess.
It's really good.
Who? Video?
Video.
It is a video as well.
Once again... Actually, no, this time I'm going to explain...
Who is it a video of?
So this is all about... I'm going to try and pronounce this right. So this is about something called...
Who?
Prosopagnosia.
Right.
Who? Prosopagnosia.
So prosopagnosia is someone finding it extremely difficult to recognise familiar faces.
Right.
So they can't tell people's faces apart, but they can recognise people by
voice,
like
voice.
Clothing.
Oh, really?
Well, voice, but clothing is or like
I wear the same clothes all the time. Yes. So
I'll show you what I mean.
Meet Terry Sweeney, a professional photographer. She was a firefighter until an injury damaged part of her social brain, the circuitry she uses to recognise faces. The disorder is called prosopagnosia. For example, the person Terry has been photographing here is her mother. Now, because of her injury, Terry can't recognise any face. Not even her own mother's. In this test, Terry takes a Polaroid picture of her mother.
Terry, you just took a picture of your mother.
Yeah.
And I want you to take a look at these and see if any of them are the picture you took or not. They may...
Now, Massachusetts General Hospital researcher Dr. Nancy Etcoff shows Terry several Polaroids with only faces showing and asks Terry to pick out her mother.
That's fucking hard.
They all look the same.
Yeah, they all look exactly the same.
You'd know.
If you had to guess, which looks to you the most like your mother?
They all got a perm.
Just looking now, you can tell which one of these. Really
everyone had a perm.
To you. No. Okay. If you just cut off your face, I just look at the clothes, I can tell you.
Aw, she seems really bad.
Do you want me to uncover
them?
Okay, why don't I do that? I'll uncover them so you can see what they're wearing and other parts of the picture.
And see? That's her, because the pink.
The shirt. Do you recognize the shirt?
It's the hardest, I think, with my family, not to be able to personalize them with a face.
I'm gonna cry.
A sense of timing. You know, it's kind of like I've lost everybody. Like, everyone's gone. And all that I'm really left with are facts without faces. You know?
When Terry looks at these slides of famous faces, she can't recognize them, although other cues like hairstyle prompt a guess.
Is that Madonna? Because her hair, look at her hair.
It's Marilyn Monroe.
Oh. Really? I always feel like I'm struggling and always feel like I'm fumbling through myself to find a connection, to find a bridge that'll just pull everybody right back all of a sudden.
Can you tell who that is?
No.
Okay, if I say Bruce Springsteen.
That's not Bruce Springsteen, is it?
Why do you say that?
This guy's ugly.
I've got it, Bruce.
Verdict is in.
No.
No, no. What if I say that's you?
I bet that'd be me.
It is.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I love when she says, it better not be me, and it's just like, well, she wouldn't fucking say, what if I said it was you, if it wasn't you? You'd be like, oh, straight away. Bless her.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be pretty sucky.
Yeah. You've basically lost everyone in your life.
Or everyone ever, because you can't recognise anyone.
No. And the thing is, this is like, the magic's gone from my friendships, because like the whole magic is like being able to like associate.
You need to know your friends' faces. You know when they're going to laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you just know. Everything. If you know someone well, you know their face. You
Unless
know
you're well into fashion.
But I was thinking, it's. Do you know what it reminded me of when I saw that video? It was the White Christmas episode of Black Mirror.
Right. Okay.
Where the guy gets blocked.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's that kind of. But yeah, that was. It's kind of heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's usually caused by a stroke. It just affects the brain in that way, but apparently it seems to be that at least 2% of people are born with it.
Wow. It reminded me a bit of that, I don't know if you saw it, I think it was from last year, the Louis Theroux documentary, Different Brain.
Oh, where someone has an accident
and then they come back and it's like they've got a completely different personality.
I think
their brain like fixes in a way that's different and they don't like there was a woman on it, she just didn't really like her husband anymore.
Yeah.
And it was just because she fell off a horse and it's like it just changed her personality completely.
Yeah.
She doesn't find him attractive, she doesn't like who he is. Yeah. And they're trying to have like a
normal
life.
But they had kids, yeah, so they're like, well, I guess I'll have to.
She doesn't really
I don't
like
love
kids.
Him.
That sounds like a fucking pretty good excuse. Yeah, it was a fucking horse, man, like ever since.
Did you see that one though?
No,
Different Brain. There,
that's recommendation of the week.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's a fucking great excuse.
I can't remember what it was called.
It's called a different brain.
Oh, is it called a different brain?
Different brain. Yeah,
but that's a really, really.
I'm like 90% sure it's called that.
It's a great insight into mental health and like or injuries. Sorry, mm-hmm. that have resulted in mental health problems. It's an amazing documentary. So if you can get that,
yeah, I think
that
might be my favorite one that he did last year. But yeah, that was really good.
It seems like the sort of thing you should be able to get on Amazon or something. But
yeah, you'll find it somewhere.
Seriously, recommend it. So yeah, that's why I can't even pronounce it again. Prosopagnosia.
Yeah, they said it on the video. They got it right.
Yeah, but he's rehearsed it. So
the thing is with that, you've got to take it at face value, haven't you?
Oh, and on that note,
ending.
It's like you're wafting and smelly fart.
Let's
go for Alice.
You want to go?
Yeah, I know, but that's just it.
No,
that was your go. Sorry, I did who?
Okay,
that
Alice.
Was who? Who do you want?
Alice.
Who?
Actually, Alien.
Too late, you chose Alice. So this is Alice, not Alice from Sweden. That was Stockholm Syndrome.
No.
Just to confuse the listeners.
No, this is...
Wait, have we got a listener with Stockholm Syndrome?
No, we've got a listener from Stockholm called Alice.
Oh.
You're not listening?
Yeah.
That's in Sweden.
Yeah, and she...
She's a med student.
She's on Facebook sometimes.
Has she got Stockholm Syndrome?
What?
No. But she... When we did the last Human Brain episode,
yeah.
She was doing an exam on the Human Brain, like the day after we put it up.
Right.
So she was using our episode for, like, a little bit of revision.
What? Fucking hell, I wouldn't use our
she
episodes
failed.
As revision.
Excuse me, I did
she
it.
Failed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. No, I'm joking.
All right, I'm going to play the video straight off for this.
And that little sign that said, drink me, and then when she did, she shrank or grew gigantically tall. But what if that wasn't just a fairy tale? What if it was an all too real medical mystery? It usually happens early in the morning.
That's when I'll start to see things different.
Blink your eye. Katie O'Brien's view of the world can change as suddenly as that. In seconds, the 19-year-old can feel as though she's living in a world that has shrunk to the proportions of a dollhouse.
Wow.
Everyday objects start
strangely tiny. At other times, strangely large.
I was looking at the couch once, and like, if you felt like it looked like the couch just was like growing.
Elongated.
Yes. That was really weird. It was really horrible.
As a little girl, you must have been frightened.
I don't know if I was necessarily like really scared. It was just something that didn't make sense. It was something I didn't understand.
Her mother, Denise, understands. She had some of the same bizarre experiences when she was a child.
I just remember feeling really tiny and everything got really big, and then it reverses.
So you'd see the world in miniature, and then it would blow up and get big?
Uh-huh. I mean, you know it hasn't happened, but it just, it's a very odd sensation.
Denise was in her 20s before she had any explanation. She and Katie share a rare condition called Alice in Wonderland Syndrome, named, of course, after Lewis Carroll's famous childhood fairy tale.
Oh, you think? It's called Alice in Wonderland Syndrome. Haven't they got a proper name for it?
There is a proper name for it. They call it Alice in Wonderland Syndrome because it's not, it's like some of these as well, it's quite a rare condition, but it's called micropsia.
Oh, okay.
So I guess micropsia, like seeing things smaller. Yeah.
I want to give a shout out.
Go on.
As we're recording that, we got a new like on the Facebook page.
Sweet.
So, Amber Luna, you liked the page just as we're recording this bit. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, I've just seen that come up on my phone.
It came up on the video when you was playing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, hi, Amber. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah,
so micropsia, there's not really much more to say about that, to be honest.
Micropsia, like, I've heard that expression before.
It feels familiar, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I thought that.
Why would I have heard that?
Alice in Wonderland Syndrome. Tiss was not happy with that.
Just
what was you giggling for that video?
Because the guy's face was hilarious.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it causes migraines. I think because it's like a visual thing, it bothers your eyes, so you can get lots of migraines, sickness.
Bothers. Bothering people.
Apparently, some people, it's so extreme for some people that some objects, so for example, in some cases, people see a car and it's the size of a cat.
I think they see a cat the size of a cat. I try and drive it to work.
I'd love to see a cat the size of a cat.
So it's known to affect children. So she was saying it affected her when she was younger, and then her mum was like, oh yeah, I had that. So
the way her mum said it was kind of weird. Her mum was like, well, when I was a kid, everything seemed bigger. And then when I got older, things seemed a lot smaller. Yeah, it's called growing older. It's called growing out loved.
Cool.
Doing another one?
Yeah, doing another one.
I sort of want to pick all of them. I'm unsure which one to pick. There's one that says unsure. And unsure doesn't have a video. Tell us about it.
It doesn't. So unsure relates to...
I'm sure about this one.
Abulamania.
Thank
Abulamania.
You.
Hakuna Matata. Does that mean no worries?
For the rest of your days.
I'm unsure.
So, Bob, I thought of you when... Because we've talked about women troubles in the past. And you're in the next room, so I'm trying to... Not periods.
Oh.
No. As in, like...
I think that women's problems.
No, just, like, for some reason... Like, okay, so Rachel really struggles to make decisions.
Right. Oh, okay, when you say, what film do you want to watch?
I don't know.
And you're like, okay, we'll watch this. Well, I don't really fancy that. Well, what do you want to watch? Well, I don't know.
Yeah, but not that. Well, no, maybe.
Or, like, the same thing happens. The classics are that, or, like...
What do you want from the takeaway?
Yeah, where do you want to get dinner?
Well, I don't know.
You're in town.
But that's like Meatloaf, isn't it? It'll do anything for love, but it won't do that. Well, make your mind up. Anything or not. Fucking idiot.
So sufferers of bulimia appear generally physically and mentally normal in all aspects of life. Yet, when faced with simple life choices, like going for a walk or choosing a box of cereal, they run into major psychological problems to the point they experience anxiety and difficulty regaining normal function. Many sufferers say their incapacity or chronic indecision originates from the need for 100% certainty. Hence, the sufferer can become paralysed in the inability to fulfil his own free will when confronted with more than one choice.
I do this with cereal all the time.
Really?
Of course.
Well, you wouldn't want to go to that. Have you heard there's that place in Brick Lane where it's just a cereal shop?
Yeah.
You've been there?
No, I'm not.
Oh, right.
I've heard of it.
It's like a cereal cafe.
They look like a right
cafe. It's like £6 for a bowl of cereal. I'm not paying that.
They look like dickheads.
Yeah.
Everything's like ironic, though. Everything's made ironically. I'm getting sick of irony.
Yeah.
I appreciate irony, but I hate things done ironically. Like, it's an excuse to like something shit. Just don't like things ironically. If you like it, you can like it. You don't have to like it ironically. Do you like something that's shit? Admit you like it then. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
It's like a guilty pleasure.
Don't be like ironic about it. No, just like it.
Yeah. Dickhead. Like a guilty pleasure.
Fucking dickhead. But I don't even get guilty pleasure. It's like, it's a pleasure then. You don't have to be guilty. I wouldn't feel guilty about liking anything.
Mm.
I like some rough shit things.
Yeah, but you like Backstreet Boys?
Mm. No.
I've binged so much Fresh Prince of Bel-Air over the last week. I don't even care.
Exactly. It's not a guilty pleasure. Really, you just like it.
That's really good.
It's pretty awful, though. What if your guilty pleasure was like illegal, though?
Like illegal, guilty pleasure.
Well, yeah, illegal pornography. Something frowned upon by that's other people in pleasure. A group that you're talking to.
I like your voice. It's a bit of a guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure. Oh, that's a bit guilty. Yeah, I hope you are guilty.
It's an illegal pleasure.
Okay. Guilt definitely guilty. The jury of your peers will see
stop
you.
Stop guilt tripping me about liking kids. Oh, you put the guilt trip me every time.
Yeah, don't worry about guilty pleasures, everyone. Just like what you want to like.
Yeah.
I like guilty pleasures. I like having guilty pleasures. That's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean, though, about going into those. Like, I'm getting really sick of going into places and there being, like, really crazy cutlery or, like, like instead of it being a glass.
What?
Where is it?
I'm just like,
I'm so sick of this crazy cutlery fad.
So,
like, if you go into a pub and it's like a jar for a
cup instead, you're like, oh, go away.
I use a jam jar.
Anyway.
So, yeah.
I cut the last 5 minutes.
A ball of mania. A ball of mania.
A ball of mania.
Do, 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 do. All right, three more.
Alien.
Alien.
Yeah. Alien.
Alien. There's a video.
Do you know what? I think I'm going to have to just play the video outright again because.
Right. We've had three in a row now, vids.
Let's have a look.
In a row.
I remember I used to have to hit a table with a medical hammer, but I used to hit myself with it.
I've even gotten mad at my hand because it won't do what it's supposed to do. Why are you doing this to me?
So these conflicts, these disagreements you see the left hand or the alien hand committing indicates that maybe there's another personality running around inside the brain.
My hand, it just seems to go out and it grabs it every time. And I don't know why. It's as though this isn't my hand. It's bad here.
This is fucking why
imagine having a part of your body that has a will of its own, not knowing what it's going to do next, causing you embarrassment or, worse still, physical harm. For people like Giuseppina, this is no mystery condition. Giuseppina suffers from a rare disorder known as alien hand syndrome. She's one of only a few patients around the world who, for one reason or another, end up with a hand that quite literally has a will of its own. She lives in Italy with her husband, John Carlos. They lived a normal, happy life together with their family. Until one day, 14 years ago, Giuseppina suffered a stroke, which was to have a devastating effect on their lives.
May well be that a lot of people are experiencing a form of alien hand syndrome, but actually the local doctor hasn't yet realised it. So it might actually be a lot more common than we realise.
These people don't understand why. To them, this lady put stuff in her cart and now she doesn't want it.
He'll be telling it to do something and it is not obeying.
It's very disobedient.
I tried to get dressed on my own, but I can't do it. If my husband isn't there to help me, I can't do anything.
This is a fucking comedy.
In one hand, I turn the pages the right way, and in the other...
Wow.
That's amazing.
I was trying not to laugh, but that was funny.
I don't like the way the narrator's just like, yeah, they were living a normal, happy life, and then this happened. It's like, well... Really? I loved when it was just like, it was obvious he wanted the light off, but the hand wanted the light on.
Oh, that was so funny. He was like, on. Yeah. Like,
you know, I'd just be like, cool.
Just fine. Have it.
What if it was like the guy at the front, where it was strangling him in his sleep?
What about reverse psychology?
Sleeping.
I want the light on, and then turns it off.
I would put my hands, like, mate. Tuck it into my belt or something.
Reverse psychology. I want to get undressed. Cut the hand off.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Are you tricking to yourself. Tricking himself with reverse psychology. Yeah. Like his hand. Like the phantom, the alien hand.
Yeah.
Has got a brain of its own.
Like the thing from the Addams Family.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't want to put my pants on. The alien. Mate, I don't know if it works like that.
Oh, I do.
Oh, so man. They got a hand that just does its own thing.
Yep.
That is like a form of split personality disorder in a way.
Kind of. I mean, so the videos say it can happen after a stroke or some kind of brain injury, but it's a rare neurological disorder where a person's limb moves without their control, making them feel like it doesn't belong to them.
Imagine there's like a film and it's like a, it's just like, no, no, and it's just like a bit where the hand's just like, it's like,
I feel like it's been done. Like, no, no, yeah. Like holding it back. Yeah, that's been done, surely.
That's,
yeah, the claw, yeah, yeah.
The claw,
that's what I'm thinking of.
But how mad is that?
Yeah.
That is probably one of the ones that when I saw that today, I just couldn't believe it.
To me, like, I don't want to laugh at mental illness, and a lot of these have been, we've joked around, but it's, they've been serious.
No, oh, this yeah. is,
that one made me laugh a lot.
This is similar to the to Tiss's videos last week, where the guy was like, these scumbag royals, like that kind of, where you, I'm not laughing, I'm just laughing at the,
narration.
The sentiment, the narration of the video.
The TV production. If we met one, I'd just be like, oh, that sucks.
Because they were obviously acting them as well. They weren't real events, so it happened. It felt like a lot of them were acting.
Like the guy that walked past the girl sat at the table.
She was just like fighting with herself. And
They were reenacted.
Yeah, exactly.
TV,
yeah.
For effect. Because you wouldn't just sit there and film something. Well, maybe people would.
Which is what you can do.
How did they know that arm was going to let her do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like, what they can do, sit there with a film camera, just like, it will happen anyway now. Just wait. Just wait.
Go and get dressed.
Yeah, go and put your pants on.
Go and take your clothes off.
Oh, God.
Right,
it's the last one. It's my choice.
Yeah.
Your last choice.
I'm going to save Corpse for last. So we go. Actually, we know we go for last. Gets the end of the show.
I was literally thinking that.
Yeah.
Because it's like.
No, Corpse.
The end.
Yeah, Corpse.
Corpse. That's all right. Cool. Cool.
It's got a video. Another video.
It's got a little faint video.
So this. This is. I'm quite pleased that we.
Oh, that is a gross misconduct.
What have you done?
Oh, that's even worse. That is fucking horrible.
You trying to do origami?
He's got a mental illness. If I fold this paper up in a horrible way,
he
can't take it. He's like, that is a mess.
It is a mess.
Am I going to have to wait for you to?
This is a form of OCD.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that I hate people overusing. Oh, OCD. Oh, he's got OCD. But that is like a weird.
Yeah,
that is weird. It's not weird, it's just
the
like
things that I hate that people overusing, OCD, and
I do love when things line up, though. I do love it. Have you ever had like a table with a glass top on it, and the glass top moves? It's like a glass.
Yeah.
But the glass thing isn't secured, so you can move.
Yeah.
So you just get it perfect with the edges. It's like, oh, straight in there, so satisfying. You just rub your hands along, and it's like, bang.
So
locked in.
So the I don't like it when people are like, oh, that's a little bit OCD.
Yeah, OCD. No. The other thing that annoys me that people overuse is like
because really, I could have left that.
People who are like, they always say, "Oh, he's on the spectrum. He's definitely on the spectrum."
Yeah, oh, we're all on the spectrum. Like no, we're not. Like, it's so not overdone, the same
name. It's fucking that.
That's because people love to identify.
Yes, yeah, so I'm on the spectrum. I'm on like the bottom end of it. It doesn't.
Yeah. So, but I mean,
everyone wants their kid to be the one who's got like a weird thing about them.
Yeah,
it makes a kid
interesting. It's not to psychoanalyze. I think this society loves to.
Like everyone's got their own a personality. It doesn't mean like
it's like, oh, my kid's a little bit like this, and it's like we're just
it's just personality. A person. Everyone's a little bit like something.
Yeah,
everyone's different.
That's like when I got diagnosed with ADHD. It's just like, have I got ADHD or am I just a bit? Man.
No, you have.
Working with autistic children every day, that's one of my pet peeves. I hate it when people are like, oh, just a little bit autistic.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
My one of my little brothers has got ADHD.
Yeah.
And being friends with Tiss for so long makes me get like, I don't know, that you're so similar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he will, you know how you sometimes turn up with like a planet of oranges and like, I just fancied an orange and you'll sit and eat the whole thing of oranges. He's like, I fancied an ice cream and he'll eat like a multi-pack of Magnums or something. It's just like obsessive. He came out with like a multi-pack of Viennetta.
That's amazing. Oh, and then I've just done like, that before. Like,
oh, great.
When we were in the States a couple of weeks ago, there was a woman that we met there and her daughter, like, I just recognised the traits straight away of ADHD, and I turned to Rach, and it was that thing, it was just the constant stuff that I recognised in Tiss for years. I turned to Rach, like, she's got ADHD, and she's like, no, don't, she's just a little bit high, but she's six. And then, like, an hour later, the mum, she's like, come on, time for your ADHD tablet. And like,
ADHD tablet. Amazing.
What did you go Corpse. For? You went for Corpse. So this
Corpse, I did.
This is this is. I'm really pleased that we've left this towards the end because this is
depressing.
Really great.
Oh.
No,
really depressing.
So Cotard syndrome,
right,
or walking corpse syndrome,
right,
is a belief held by a person that he or she is actually dead.
Wow, I think this sometimes,
or simply doesn't exist.
Oh, I had a weird phase where I actually thought that as well.
Really?
Yeah. I would like go. This is mental as well. This is mental. A couple of times when I was like a teenager, I went to Milton Keynes and just like laid on the floor and like no one did anything and I was like, I'm invisible.
Really?
Yeah, this is such a weird thing that I'm admitting. To,
don't you,
I've never
don't you
admitted
think
this
like, that's just the British...
Yeah, yeah, but I think it was a very like...
What, in the middle of the centre?
Yeah, like middle of like Virgin Megastore thing.
You literally laid down in the store? Yeah. That's amazing.
Just because I was just like... angsty, weird, depressed, like teenager.
It is linked to depression.
And I wouldn't go to Milton Keynes to do it, but I'd be in Milton Keynes and I'd be like, I'm invisible.
Yeah, and you'd prove it.
And then I would just like lay down and no one would do anything, no one would say anything. And I would, you know, you could listen to music in the shop. Yeah. On the headphones, you'd be able to scan a CD to see if you liked it. Yeah. I'd like scan a CD and lay down with the headphones on, just like lay there. And no one would do anything.
Yeah, I guess people wouldn't, though.
No, they wouldn't. But at the time, for me, I was like, I'm invisible. Look, no one's doing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's so weird. I only just remember that I did that. That's really weird. That's so weird that I did that.
Well, it is linked to
and the dead thing, loads of times in my life, I think, I've said this on the show before, like, I might be dead. I might have died. And everything in my life since that time is just me imagining it. Like, I died when I was 15. And everything since then is, like, my imagination.
I always did that. I imagine, like, when I'm driving...
Yeah.
Imagine if, like, I just crashed and the rest of the journey was just me...
Yeah, I do that all the time when I'm driving.
Or
what have I died just
the
then?
Rest of it.
Yeah, I think, what have I died just then? This is all... This is, like, what being dead feels like. Your brain just imagines the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that every now and then I genuinely go to deep thought of like maybe I died when I was like 12.
I think when it'd be interesting like if you died and then like in Doctor Strange, time just slows down so much that you could just keep living.
It feels like you lived out your life normally.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I wonder that. Anyway, carry on with corpse. This is like psychoanalyzing me now.
It's all on topic, isn't it? So we're going to play a clip now from Good Morning Britain.
Okay.
The guy who had it and has since recovered.
Right, okay.
It's a really interesting story.
It is a remarkable story. You lived it. When did you first realise that things sort of weren't quite as they should be?
I don't think I really did at the time. When everything was happening to me, it's quite a strange time for me. I had to come to terms with a lot of stuff.
Cool. Yeah. So taking yourself back to how you felt then, if you were sitting in a situation like this with Ben and I and Dr. Hillary there, what would you be feeling? Like, we were alive and you were dead?
Yes. People have asked me to sort of tell them how I felt and what I just say is what I felt was what's the point,
and that's how you felt emotionally. What's the point?
Why I was at Headley Court and they were trying to help me and
to rehab you.
Rehab, yeah. And I was just.
You felt like a ghost, didn't you?
What's the point?
Like a ghost, dead man walking.
Yeah. Can you explain this Cotard syndrome, Hillary, and how it affects?
Yeah,
the sufferers.
Yeah, I mean, Warren has had a brain injury as well as a fractured spine, pelvis, ruptured lungs. He was on the brink for a long time in a coma. So when they found the extent of the brain damage, he'd got frontal lobe injuries. So a lot of disturbance, a lot of nerve cells in the part of the brain responsible for facial recognition, for memory, for processing emotions. So surrounded by all those soldiers in a military hospital for many, many months, he became convinced that he'd died, and he was in this dissociative state where people were around him, but he didn't actually exist. His life had ended. He didn't feel like he did before when he was alive. So it just became this syndrome called Cotard syndrome, named after a French neurologist in 1880, that he thought he was dead. And it was actually when he met somebody else with a similar syndrome who'd said, I've just reinvented my new identity. The old me had died. Is that right?
Yes.
And he helps you to come to terms with where you are now. And you're doing amazing things now, endurance racing and all sorts of things.
Yes. Yeah.
How hard was it there, Warren, for your family, of course? Because as we were saying, you stopped eating because you thought, what's the point?
It was very tough. I wasn't with my family. I was at Headley Court, so that made it even harder because they were. I knew they were there, but they weren't
physically. They weren't there, physically yeah. there. So you've been removed from everything that you knew.
Yes.
Understood.
So, so I could speak to my wife.
Yeah.
But
it didn't feel real in a way.
It didn't.
And things are better now, though, are they?
Things are much better now.
Tell us about this endurance challenge that you're doing, because it's an extraordinary thing.
Well, it's with Team Brit. It's a team for British Racing Injured Troops. We race in the Fun Cup, which is a championship, which do endurance car racing. Mm-hmm. Anything from 3 hours all the way up to 25 hours at the Spa, which... I'm really hoping I do that next year.
And what I'm saying, when he's doing that, he's completely focused. Everything's there together, and he knows he's alive when he's doing that.
I really
knows.
I wish I could bottle that focus and sell it. I wish I could sell it because I'd be rich.
That would be amazing. Well, look, it's been fascinating to meet you all. Thank you very much. Best of luck with the racing, and fingers crossed you make that race, because that would be really special, wouldn't it?
It would be amazing. Yeah. I just hope that my journey inspires
other people with mental health issues. So I'm sure it will. So. Hills, thanks very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
What do you think about that, Tess?
Don't know. Just thought he was dead then.
Mm.
But then they took him out of a situation which could have helped him come back. And they put him in like a place which he'd associate with death.
Yeah, I guess they might not have known that was going
to
happen.
What I mean, if like you started to feel like you were dead and then they took you to like mental hospital, you'd be like, well, I'm probably dead. Like,
this is hell.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Just put him back in his house and be like, look, this is your life. Yeah. It's probably not as simple as that.
Yeah. Because if you thought you were dead, you wouldn't be like, I'm dead. They wouldn't realise that you thought you were dead.
I thought that was an exacerbation.
Him being in that environment. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it probably can't have been very helpful.
But that's like hospitals and stuff. Like, I don't understand why people go to hospital to die. I'd love to just die at home.
Yeah, it's...
if you know you're going to die.
Yeah, I've got a friend who Rachel and I have known for a couple of years now, who was told just before Christmas he's got like 3 months to live.
Mm.
And I think I've mentioned it before actually. And he's like, they said to him, we can do what we can to like prolong your life we can keep you here. And he's like, nah, I want a bit home.
Yeah.
Like, let me just.
I can understand that. I think
I wouldn't want to.
I can't imagine how I would be in that situation, but now I think I would probably be the same. Like, just let me live out my last days normally, rather than like wasting them trying to like chase treatment and do this and do that. Like, just let me live normally. If I'm gonna die, let me do it on my own terms.
So there were other videos that I saw that were probably more detailed and gave you more detail about the actual disorder.
Mm.
But I liked that guy's story. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting and like his recovery. And so some of these guys they were still trying to cope with it, and they were still saying, there's that one video I watched, where this guy was saying that he's like, I know you're a film crew, but I'm really struggling to understand if this is a dream or if this is part of my reality or not. And so it's like, it's a really interesting, which is why I'm like, this is probably one of the ones that I didn't know anything about this.
No, I never heard of it.
So yeah,
I can relate to this stuff so much because I've taken acid and it took me out of reality. And I can understand like a disassociation from what is going on.
As long as you come back, going on.
Yeah.
As long as you reassociate,
I did come back.
Fuck
for that. It's horrible. It's genuinely horrible because it's not even like you're just so confused. You're just like fucking hell. Like you're trying to claw back what you used to think reality was, but it's gone. Everything you thought you know is gone, and you're just clutching to whatever you can get at the time, which is just input from, you know, your eyes and hearing.
Sounds horrible.
But no one can describe what reality is to you, and you can't get back the enormity of reality. It's just literally whatever reality is whatever is in front
of you. Awful.
But it's not until you lose that you understand what it is. You start to...
Do you feel like after you've been through that, you appreciate life more?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I would say, since you got off the smack...
off the smack.
You've been way more positive person.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Definitely. I've really noticed a real lift in your spirits. I would say
the last two, 3 months... Around the time you said, like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And it was also the same sort of time where you moved out, so I don't know if that was anything to do with it as well.
Hmm.
But from that point onwards, like, your positive output has been like, I wouldn't, like, I can't even say like 300 times better, like more than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're so much more positive.
That's sweet.
And in, like, in a good way, like a way it feels genuine as well. Like, I feel like you seem genuinely happy. Yeah. Also, you've got your dog as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I must have helped. Yeah.
That, all of those things line up.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like one thing led to another, and it put you in a way better place.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Tiz is getting psychoanalyzed. We're going to tear beef to shreds in a minute.
Yeah. No, you're not.
What would you do if, like, I was going to say, well, you know when you said about that thing in the shop floor?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if, like, a Shutter Island situation came in and, like, a psychoanalyst came in and was like, and then just started, like, pressing you, like, what did you do? And this all fell away, and it was like a...
I was still laying on the floor in HMV.
No, and imagine it, yeah, imagine that. Imagine it was like, and this all fell away, and it was just you in, like, an analysis chair, and they were trying to get, and you were, like, 18 again, or however old you were.
Had a pair of anguish on my backside.
And you were just like... you'd lived out all this time.
Oh, that'd be terrifying.
That'd be nuts, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So I will finish with Cotard syndrome by saying that it's been connected to something called Capras syndrome, which is a condition where a person thinks...
Capras syndrome.
Capras. where a person thinks someone in their life has been replaced by an imposter or a duplicate. There's a division in the brain between the visual face recognition area and the part that associates emotional responses with that recognition.
That's the last one.
This last one you both know about, and you might be able to guess from the ZZZZ.
Sleep paralysis?
No. It's a...
Sleep?
Sleepwalking?
You're on the lines with sleeping.
I guess it's sleeping. It says...
Sleep loving.
There's a video as well.
A sleep video.
Narcolepsy causes me to fall asleep anywhere between 40 and 50 times a day on a good day, probably more than that on a bad day. And it can be anywhere between a few seconds. If I'm sitting up, if I'm at home, then it can probably be more than that, because if I'm comfortable, if I'm sitting on a chair, if I've got something to rest my head back on, it can be anywhere between sort of, up to 45 minutes. And it impacts massively on my life, because it means that everything I do, I have to think about how much energy it's going to take up, how long afterwards it's going to take me to recover, and if I'm going to be safe, because it's not just the falling asleep, but cataplexy as well, which can leave me quite vulnerable in certain situations, public transport, or if I'm by myself without a friend. So it impacts on everything I do, really, because you just have to think about things that somebody who didn't have narcolepsy wouldn't have to think about before doing something simple. Even something like going swimming. I don't go swimming anymore because there's a risk that I could have cataplexy in the swimming pool and start drowning, which has happened before. So it impacts massively.
Wow.
Yeah, man. That'd suck.
I just thought we needed to talk about narcolepsy a little bit.
Wow.
Narcolepsy and cataplexy. So do you guys know what cataplexy is?
Is that when you start convulsing?
No. Yeah. Cataplexy is... So when you're asleep, all your muscles are... Relax. Like, yeah. So cataplexy is... So if it's like your limbs all go... Like you just slump. So you could be walking along and... Like a puppeteer dropping a puppet. Just everything just crumples. So obviously it's quite...
Is this what... have this?
Narcolepsy. Yeah. I feel like there might be some truth to
that. He had something
that.
Like that. Because he used to be able to have a moderator in an exam. Because... In case he'd fallen asleep in the exam or something.
Mm.
And also he fell asleep in standing up in the middle of a rainstorm in school one time. Like it started raining.
Yeah, no,
and
I remember
like
that.
Ran inside, you know, when it's like wet break, everyone ran inside, and we were all inside looking out the window, and he was like in the middle of the playground, just like rained on.
No, I'm making it up.
No. Do you remember falling asleep in the common room one time, and then we started building a fort around him?
Oh, yeah.
And like built like a whole castle around him of like chairs, bean bags, cardboard boxes. We'd written like Ben's house on a sign on the door. He was like in the living still like asleep except for the whole thing, and then we woke up, he was like, I smashed off.
He went mental.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Yeah Yeah, I don't know if... Yeah, but,
I mean, that's bullying.
Yeah, but
speaking... He had, like, a mild form of narcolepsy, I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Maybe. Yeah. But so 40
Tiss,
or 50
I would say Tiss has it, the way he falls asleep.
Yeah, so narcolepsy, I'm sure you boys know about narcolepsy, right?
Falling asleep and that.
Yeah. but I didn't realise cataplexy was a part of it. So not all people have cataplexy, but it's linked. It's very close.
Can't they get really injured when they're just walking down a street and go?
That's what she was saying. She doesn't. Yeah. She's swimming. She can drown.
There are drugs to help control it. So the other video I had was a golfer in the USA. So it will go on the blog, who has cataplexy as well, and she has drugs to control it. Because there would be times where she'd be on the golf course and just crumple.
Fall asleep on the golf course?
Yeah, yeah. Well, everyone falls asleep on the golf course. It's boring. so narcolepsy.
I hope you get some hate mail from golfing fans.
Well, I just hate golf. It is so dull. So boring.
It's fucking so dull.
I love it.
No, you don't. And cricket.
It's a staple of the upper class as well.
Worst.
I love it. Yeah,
golf and people wear like fucking stupid clothes for golf.
Yeah,
I love it.
I love golf. I love golf and Tiger Woods and all the women. I'm joking. No, I hate golf.
I do love Tiger Woods though.
Yeah, he's great.
I love it when he womanizes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when he cheats on his wife. Shouts to Tiger.
I like it when he's got everything, but it's still not good enough for him.
Yeah, isn't it? Tiger.
It's my favourite Tiger move.
So you mentioned sleep paralysis. Sleep paralysis is a big part of it as well. So a lot of people with narcolepsy wake up and have, just totally paralysed. So they have to just wait there for a while. But sometimes they fall asleep in that time where they're waiting for their body to wake up, they fall asleep again.
I'm sure they wouldn't call it waiting.
Well, I don't know what you call it.
What, sleep paralysis or
not? It's not sleep paralysis in the scary, horrible, demonic.
Oh, sorry. Waking up in the morning,
you know when you wake up before your body's woken up and you sort of can't really move. Yeah. So narcolepsy deserved an honourable mention.
Yeah. Honourable mention goes to narcolepsy.
Recommendation of the week.
What a snore fest. That's me done, boys. We've cleared the board.
Well done.
This episode's been a longie.
It's been longie, but I think people are going to enjoy this one.
I hope so.
Been a lot of fun.
Check out the blog, blogspot@weirdtales.com/blogspot.
Links to all the videos and stuff that Beef talked about, Weird Tales and the unexplainable.blogspot.com is our companion blog. It's updated every week with every episode. If you want to contact us about anything that we talked about today, or any recommendations, or to say hi, or anything at all, unexplainableuk@mail.com. You can find us on facebook.com/weirdtalesandtheunexplainable, and we're also on Twitter. I'm at Bob Shoy,
at Martin1Luke,
at Tissy Baby.
Next week you've got a little bit more of this sort of thing, some more human brainy sciencey stuff, and then after that, for all the people that have been waited, in 2 weeks time we're going to be revisiting the Warrens.
Awesome. I don't have a pun.
Oh, come on.
I couldn't think of one.
Oh, we had some in the middle, didn't we?
There are some.
Yeah.
What did we laugh at? I wasn't really laughing at earlier.
We laughed at loads of stuff.
Yeah, we laughed at lots of silly things. Can you think of a pun that I can sign off with to do with the brain? Or, like, brain disorders?
Brain you later.
Brain you later.
No, I'm terrible at puns.
Yeah. I don't know, I can't think of anything. I hope you enjoyed the show.
I can't think of anything.
Last time I used Mind How You Go, didn't I?
Yeah, until next time. If you enjoyed this week, I think you will enjoy next week too.
No, I've got it. Are you ready? This is really good. Are you ready?
Yeah.
So, thank you for listening. I've been Beef, and I just appreciate that you've listened to the show. And I've been Beef, and he's been Bob Stroyan. He's been Tiss, and Beefy out.
What? I kept waiting for the pun to come in.
There's no pun, it's just really long.
Just you talking shite.
Until next time.
Oh, are we still going? Baby, tissy baby.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.